Hello, welcome to First Coast Forum. My name is Abby Murphy. I'm here with Dr. Justin Vitte, a professor at FSCJ, and today we're going to be talking about the economy. This has been a wild year for our country's economy. This pandemic seems like it's really taken a toll on our economy. Is it as bad as it seems?
So, welcome and thanks for having me on today. If we look at is it as bad as it seems and compare it from like 2019 to now, I would say that, it depends on which side of the stream you're on. It's pretty bifurcated right now across the population. If you are somebody that has kept their job and was able to work remotely and still contributing to your retirement accounts, and nothing else besides going home and working has changed from last year, it's probably not as bad for you. But on the other hand, you have a large part of the population that may have been in the service sector, the retail sector, lower skilled jobs that are just simply out of work and not able to go back to work due to the restrictions. And I think those folks are having a much different experience. And this is probably a horrible year for them.
Yeah, absolutely. How has Florida fared compared to the rest of the United States?
So Florida is, pretty unique in that we have not really had any type of state mandated lockdown. And so far, the leniency from the government, Florida government, has allowed, businesses to stay open in one way or another. Earlier in the year, there were, times when everybody was almost shut down. However, compared to some other, states and recent news coming out with closing gyms again, closing restaurants, not allowing, any get-togethers. Those are those types of shutdowns. I'm not a medical professional, so I don't know if that works or not. I have my own opinion on if it does, but we haven't had to do that in Florida. And I think economic-wise, it's been much more positive that we did not.
So let's talk a little bit about the housing market for maybe people who were planning on buying or selling their home this year or next year. What kind of impact has the pandemic had on the housing market?
Yeah, that's a good question. A couple of weeks ago, I was talking to a realtor friend of mine who has his pulse on this. And we had a nice discussion because that was kind of one of the questions that I had as well. And for one, there are many buyers who were in the market to purchase and now are sitting on the sidelines, kind of in a holding pattern until better news comes out, either regarding a vaccine, lower numbers of confirmed cases, et cetera. My realtor friend mentioned that he had probably about 9 buyers right now that would have been under contract, but they're just holding off and they're waiting. On the other hand, you have aggressive buyers who are taking advantage of the market, and it mainly stems from probably almost record low interest rates, roughly 3% or even lower. So these buyers aren't really worried about the pandemic. They don't want to lose out on a good opportunity. One of the problems that this has created is we're having a lack of inventory. If you follow the trends, home sales, the minute a home goes up for sale, you're getting multiple offers, situation like that almost every time. So that's kind of creating a frenzy in which is driving the cost of homes up. And I believe the numbers show that they are as high as they have been pre-market crash in 2007 and 2008.
Wow. So even though there's a lack of inventory, interest rates are low. So would you say this is more of a buyer's or a seller's market?
I would say that right now we are in a seller's market. I think that with the lack of inventory and interest rates being low, buyers have an opportunity to, secure mortgages at low rates, but the sellers don't have as much competition as buyers would like. And so they're either getting the full price or sometimes even over it.
Right. All right, let's talk a little bit about retirement. Maybe those who were hoping to retire and maybe were holding out a little bit too long. Talk a little bit about the pandemic's impact on people's 401ks.
Yeah, sure. So one of the areas that I study is on Fidelity's 401k metrics. They're one of the largest providers of 401ks in the nation. And I talked to their managed account teams, and they're saying that the investor psychology right now is to play it safe. And they may be playing it too safe because people are nervous about and allocating money to cash as opposed to continually investing in stocks. And so overall, I think if you've been continually contributing to your 401k since the pandemic, chances are your accounts are up substantially. If you, as I know some people who may have sold out of equities in March and April, and they did so at a pretty big loss, and they did not have the opportunity to take advantage of the upswing over the last year. On the other hand, I know many folks that are in close to retirement age that see the market as their 401ks are at the highest it's ever been. And they're saying, you know what, I'm not interested in the risk anymore, and I'm cashing out. I'm getting ready to retire. I can't have the Dow Jones drop to 18,000 again when I'm, you know, in this 1 to 2 year period pre-retirement. So I think that at a minimum, retirement accounts that have been steadily contributed to are doing fairly well right now. And, you know, people should still probably be contributing if they have the opportunity, at least to the company match.
Right. And what a terrible time to retire too, you know, get out of work and all of a sudden it's a lock. Well, not a lockdown, but it might as well be. Let's talk a little bit about investments as well. What are some smart investments people could be making in the next year?
Well, there's outside of, you know, their 401ks. I mean, the general, you know, consensus is that folks should always contribute to their 401k up to at least a company match. You know, you're getting that free money. There are commercial real estate developments that are really taking off right now, and I know it's because of the low interest rates and an opportunity for value added development. If you have, you know, money, those are things to look into. There's also, you know, on the other end of the equation, gold and gold miners, ETFs and so forth. I personally, you know, don't want to really get into making specific recommendations for investments other than if you are working right now and can contribute to your 401k, do so to get the match.
Awesome. Okay, let's talk a little bit about some specific industries that, you know, we've seen a lot of hurt happen to businesses in the last year, but have there any industries that have seen growth despite the economy taking a little bit of a hit?
Yeah, sure. Good question. So there's many industries that have found growth opportunities during the pandemic, either through, you know, existing businesses adapting to the way they serve customers or accelerated growth of a early stage business that may have needed a few more years to get there. You know, and some of those industries, just off the top of my head, online learning and tutoring, any type of virtual entertainment or activities for kids. I know we've seen grocery and alcohol delivery business change, streaming services for TV, pool companies. When I talked to a friend that owns a local pool company, they are as busy as they have ever been, ever right now. I think any type of business that supports remote work, the home fitness and wellness industry, and of course, you know, cleaning and sanitation products and so forth are thriving during this time.
Do you think those industries will continue to see growth?
Well, it depends. First, you know, many of them adapted during the pandemic in how they serve their customers. And they've stayed afloat or even grown positively during the lowest points of the year, right, when a lot of people were quarantining inside. So the odds that, you know, these business owners will be able to adapt to whatever the permanent guidelines are set forth, I would bet on the American entrepreneur to do that and to be successful in that. Those who are taking the time this year to, you know, really serve their customers differently, adapt their operation to guidelines, reorganize and restructure their offerings, and kind of just adjust to the new consumer demand will be successful. For example, we've seen, you know, smart local restaurants have turned themselves quickly around into retailers, where you are picking up items. Maybe they're prepackaged. Maybe you're ordering and having it delivered. But it's no longer a restaurant experience as opposed to more of a market, and repurposing their supply chains towards end customers. In the future, it's possible that, you know, businesses are going to have very strict sanitary guidelines, social distancing requirements, and consumers are going to want to spend less time in the store and more time, you know, having pickup and delivery options, regardless of the industry. And so those that are able to adapt, I feel like if you are able to adapt and survive during this pandemic, then chances are you'll be able to continue to do so moving forward.
So on the flip side, what industries have been hit the hardest?
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, obviously we have, you know, the retail industry and service sector has, you know, and most of our economy is in the service sector, has been hit the hardest. Office space, retail, dry cleaners. You know, we have restaurants that are not standalone, but they've been in office buildings, and those office buildings have sent everybody home. And even though they're more than happy to open, there's just no customers inside the building. I know some that have been closed since March. And there's really no outlook, positive outlook right now on when they're going to get the full capacity back. They rely on a full building, and that may never happen again. You know, companies may not be as eager to bring back 100% of the workforce into the building. So office space, anything related to, you know, relying upon a workforce that is not at home, that is out, you know, in the local environment, and requiring foot traffic and so forth, is probably in a bit of a downturn.
So earlier this year, Americans got who filed tax returns in 2018 and 2019 got a stimulus package. Do you think Americans do you think that did anything positively for the economy?
So typically any type of stimulus will have, an impact on the economic swing. Whether it's enough or not really depends on the situation that consumers find themselves in and their confidence. You know, my general recollection of, you know, the early March, April, May stimulus was that, and PPE and all of those things, was that it just was not sufficient enough, and that people who were getting $1,200 checks were grateful, but many of them maybe didn't need it. And the people who did need it weren't able to get things as quickly as possible. As well, the implementation of funds to businesses, especially those that were going to be so-called grants that then turned into loans, was a complete disaster. The motive and the motivation was good, but the implementation and the spreading of the finances was just a complete disaster. So I think that anytime you're able to put money in customers' pockets, that's going to stimulate the economy. But their confidence in being able to continue to earn is also going to determine whether they spend that or save it.
Can you elaborate a little bit more about the grants that turned into loans for businesses? Why, in your opinion, do you think that was a complete disaster?
Sure. So, I'm giving anecdotal evidence here based upon the many businesses that I've spoke to that applied, who were told that, you know, up to a certain amount of, like, let's say $10,000 would be a grant that's not required to be repaid if it's used for, you know, certain purposes. You can't just, you know, keep the money in the bank account. You have to use it to pay employees and so forth. And what happened was many of those grants had many restrictions on them, and then actually had, after they had applied for them, came back and said, actually, you don't qualify for it. We can give you a loan instead. And so I know very few small businesses that actually received the grant, not in the form of a loan. And not only that, but we had businesses that were, you know, at the top of the chain that were getting millions of dollars of funding, but small businesses in the communities that were not getting responses, were not, you know, the websites were shutting down, they weren't hearing back, and they were going months without even a, without any income coming in, without even a loan. And so the, again, the intent, I believe, was positive and good. If the government is going to shut you down, then the government should have to pay for it. Okay, typically, you know, that would, my views would be a little different on that. But again, if you're forced to shut down, then you have to be compensated. But the implementation of it was a complete disaster. Some people have still not received any of the PPE money. And, you know, they're very hesitant when they hear about any type of stimulus coming back out as, okay, well, that's great, but is it really gonna get to me?
Was there a common reason as to why these small businesses didn't qualify for the grant?
You know, that's a very good question, and it's very confusing, and not something that I've figured out. It is, I think it was just a flawed system set up. I think there was some miscommunication that was sent out, and everybody thought that they were going to get, you know, free money as long as they used it in certain circumstances. But then when the realities came back to it, that wasn't actually the case.
Gotcha. So we've heard a lot of talk of some vaccines possibly coming out and getting approved. Do you think we'll return to a pre-COVID economy once that comes out?
Well, it depends on how you measure the economy. If it's, you know, if it's just about, you know, using stock market figures, then that's one metric. If we look at consumer spending, that's one metric. If we look at unemployment rates, that's one metric. But anything that is going to give, you know, workers and businesses more confidence that they can operate safely, and give consumers more confidence that they can travel, that they can go into stores safely, is going to have an impact, a positive impact. I would not expect in 2021, or maybe even 2022, depending on how long this drags out, to be in a pre-COVID economy. However, you know, Americans and the United States has always, you know, fought through obstacles, and we've always adapted and always have come back. It just might take a little bit of time, but I have full confidence that at some point we will have a new normal that is sufficient for all of us.
That's very hopeful. So in 2021, we could be seeing, or we will be seeing, a new presidential administration get put into place. How do you see President-elect Biden's tax plans impacting our economy in the next year?
Sure. So his tax plans, you know, were plans, election and campaigning plans. Just to be clear on that, they're not anything that are set in stone. And depending upon whether or not we have a divided government with the Senate holding on to the Republican majority, some of those plans that we've learned about may never come to fruition. They may be, or they may, you know, be adapted quite a bit and compromised. So I think that as a business person, if you're a local business or you have assets that you're considering selling, that's going to be something that you're looking at fairly quickly. I don't believe a part of the plan is to make drastic changes in 2021 with whatever plan that they do come out with. I think that there's going to be a phase-in period because I think, you know, general understanding, common sense really is that, you know, as we're coming, you know, into a recession and hoping for a recovery, it's not really the time to increase taxes.
Florida has also approved a raise in minimum wage over time. How do you see that impacting our state over the next few years?
Sure. So, yeah, that's a controversial issue. And, you know, we could debate the economics of it on both sides. I think that the minimum wage has been stagnant for quite a long time. And, I mean, for a very long time. And so it was, if, you know, the people voted, and the people voted to move the needle a bit. And I think that that is, you know, a nice development. I don't know that many of the businesses who are worried that this is going to impact their staffing actually do pay minimum wage. They probably pay higher, and it's not going to have that much of an impact. And it's not like we're going from, you know, eight something to $15 right now. This is like a 5 to 6 year phase in that I think will be able to be absorbed a lot more neatly than I think it would if, you know, we were implementing this like in 1 year and everybody had to go from 8 to 15.
There have also been a lot of talks about a second lockdown potentially happening. What do you think small businesses can do to prepare for this next time around to stay afloat?
Yeah, so yeah, there are places locking down. I have some confidence that, based upon what we know about our state in Florida, that that's unlikely to happen again here. I won't debate the health facts of it. Again, I'm not a medical provider. My personal opinion is that, you know, shutdown doesn't work, but restrictions do. Restrictions have been proven to work, such as requiring social distancing, sanitary guidelines, you know, washing hands, face masks. Those things help. But keeping everybody in their house, you know, at this point in the game with a virus, unless you're going to have zero people on the streets, it's not going to make an impact. If you have even one or two people still out, then it has the chance to spread. But again, that's not really my area. Economically, I think that any type of perceived or you know, threatened shutdown is going to cause a bit of a panic in small businesses. And should be looking back at the last 6 months to think, okay, what did we do that worked? What did we do that did not work? And have a game plan for 2021 to be able to implement a plan B very quickly. Again, I just don't see that happening. I see, you know, restrictions being put in place, but companies can adapt to those. But of course, a shutdown would be disastrous for our economy in Florida and locally. And I'm not so sure, you know, what the medical folks think that the risk return reward is for that.
Gotcha. Well, we covered a lot of ground today. Is there anything else that we haven't talked about that you think our listeners should know about the state of our economy in general?
Yeah, I think that, you know, one thing I would just like to highlight is if you look back in history and you look back at crashes and depressions and boom times and so forth, you know, the American people have had to deal with, you know, many obstacles, and we've always come out positively. This is obviously not, you know, when you have folks dying and so forth, it's not a that's not a positive. But the question specifically about economics, And so I'm confident that over time, we'll be able to get right back to it, and that, you know, we'll have to do it smartly and we'll have to do it with restrictions, but that's okay. Things evolve and change over time, and I'm confident that we'll all be able to do that.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time. It was actually very informative. This is such a hot topic right now.